Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's Kramer. Today, let's talk about juicing. It is not some new kind of health craze. Juicing is a fantastic on-the-go healthy food option that anybody can fit into their lifestyle. And it tastes good. Pure Raw Juice has the information, the know-how, and of course, the countless delicious alternatives to fast food. They've even got a full line of cold coffee brews. Now, 10 locations all throughout Baltimore let Pure Raw Juice inspire you to take the first steps to healthy eating habits or even try a juice cleanse. See the full Pure Raw Juice menu for yourself and heal your body from the inside. PureRawJuice.com.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Halfway through our final show of the week. It's good to be back. I feel like I'm mostly settled into the routine again. But I won't be sad about Friday. If you're already awake on your Friday morning, well, happy Friday to you. Thanks for hanging out with us here after hours on the Infinity Sports Network. Working my way through the top 10 Hawaii moments, and so we'll add a few more this hour. People keep asking me, what island? Did you island hop? How many islands? Where did you go? We only hit two of them, Oahu and the Big Island, and we chose the Big Island specifically for the adventures that fit us as a couple. Hiking, beaches, remote shore points, mountains, volcanoes, gardens. That's the kind of stuff we're into. We're not into the shopping. We're really not big into restaurants as much. We did do one kind of fancier date night at a great cafe in Waimea, which is up in the mountains. And we also really enjoyed a Hawaiian barbecue that we did on a ranch up at the top of Kohala Mountain. Gorgeous setting. But yeah, we're much more into the outdoors. We explored the entire island and we were gone. I would say of the 9 days we spent on the Big Island, we were gone 8 of those pretty much all day long, just finding all the neat places and that we could take photos, waterfalls, and I'll just drop another one here really quickly. And this is powerful because we found it just by going through the guidebook that we were reading. It's called Lapahoho. It's a funny name, but it's a little town on the northeast coast of the Big Island. And it's significant for not just one major reason in Hawaii history, but also national history. Going back, I'm going to have to remember the exact date. So I'll get the exact date, but there was a tsunami at that point. And it happened that the town of Lapahoho had a school right there on the shore. Now, I've read about it now, so I know the history, but I didn't at the time. What happened, there was an earthquake in Alaska. So the Aleutian Islands, 500 miles away, there's an earthquake. There's an earthquake and in the Aleutian Islands up in Alaska. And here's where I got the 500 from. The waves that it produces up in Alaska are traveling 500 miles per hour. And it takes them a few hours, but they reach Hawaii. They reach this northeast point of the Big Island. And when they get there, and for those of you who know how a tsunami works, all the water kind of gets sucked out initially. And as the story goes, the teacher of the school there at Lapahoho Point thought it was really neat that the water had all been sucked out. They did not know the signs of a tsunami. So she takes her entire class and they go out and they go on the shore. So this is a really rocky area generally. So we're out there hanging out. The waves were fierce. And as the waves get sucked out and the water gets sucked out, this teacher thinks, oh, I'm going to take advantage of this. It's a calmer time. The water's kind of, it's gone. Again, not knowing what she was dealing with, she took her class out onto the shore where now all of a sudden there's very little water and it's really shallow. And then comes the massive wave, the tsunami, that slams into this point and kills. Now it killed over 100 people, but it killed 21 children who were part of the school there at Lapahoho. And so it's a point that has major history. Here, I found the date, 1946. It's a beautiful point. There's a bunch of rocks and the waves, they crash into them. And it's a great picnic spot for locals still. But it was also a site of tragedy. And so as it goes, they decided that they needed to come up with some way to warn people when there was a tsunami or when they could figure out the signs. And so they develop a warning system there using technology based on this tsunami in 46. So the next time they have one, only a handful of people die. They had another one in the 70s and no one died because they knew the warning signs and they had the warning system. And it actually turned into what is now the national warning system for tsunamis. And all over the island, you see signs that say tsunami evacuation route. So they're everywhere, including one of the villages where we spent a lot of time. So yeah, there is a memorial plaque there, and it definitely is an area that all Hawaiians know because of the tragedy that occurred there. But there is a beach park there now, and it's beautiful to hang out there. And actually, they say they're overdue for another tsunami because it's been 50 plus years and they're supposed to happen once every 50 years. So that at this point, they're almost on alert and expecting it. So yeah, it used to be a quiet fishing village and was kind of on that point and relatively secluded. Right on the sea and down this great steep road. So into a valley. So it's right down at sea level, really pretty drive down about a mile down. And you're going around these winding roads, almost going straight down, just a gorgeous cliff setting too. We were up on top, taking photos, looking down, and then we drove down into it. And I can certainly understand why they're susceptible there for tsunami just because of how low it is when you get down to the water level. So yeah, it's just gorgeous green sea cliffs and beautiful water and crashing waves and large rocks. And they do still have a school there, but learning the history of the place was pretty significant for us. We appreciated that we were able to find out the history even before we went down there. So that was another particular piece of our trip that really appealed to us. We both are history buffs and we love reading the history of any place that we go. We're total nerds, I guess. So it was cool just to kind of assimilate ourselves into the Big Island for the better part of 10 days and live in a village where a lot of locals live and not in a big resort or anything like that. And just kind of take it in from that perspective. Although we did have our one big dumb tourist move, which I mentioned when we got back on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I told that story, but I will. It's one of my top 10 Hawaii moments. Well, not that part, not the dumb tourist move, but we did get where we were going. So yeah, and I'm going to do some photos too. I haven't had a chance to other than the food photos, but I will do them in a blog post, maybe a couple of blog posts coming up this weekend. So I appreciate that you all care. You sent me lots of nice messages about how you missed me and you couldn't wait to hear the stories. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've talked, gosh, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Also hit Caitlin Clark's home debut, which wasn't great for the Indiana Fever, but there were better than 17,000 fans there, and I'm anxious to see the numbers for Amazon Prime because this game was broadcast on Prime. Something else going on Thursday, the PGA Championship, and yet another record for Xander Schauffele, a 62 for him at the opening round of Valhalla. And so, yeah, he's on top of the leaderboard.
It's a great start. One I'll always take. I think one anyone in the field will take. Like you said, I mean, it's Thursday, and just happy with the start.
It is Thursday. It's really early, but minus nine is minus nine. By the way, Valhalla's in Louisville, if you don't know, so they're in the heartland. And yeah, whether or not it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to post a minus nine and a 62 is really incredible. But he wasn't the only one that went low. Now, he's top three in the world, and he's had a couple of these rounds, which are jaw-dropping. So this PGA Championship, by shooting that opening round 62, he ties the record for lowest round at a major championship. And this is about a year after, actually same year, not calendar year, but same 12-month span, in which he set the U.S. Open record by doing the same thing. So he definitely does have the ability to drop one of these super low rounds. Can he keep it up? Maybe not another 62 on Friday, but can he hold off a field that's kind of nipping at his heels? Again, because it was easy to score. It was a soft course with a bunch of rain preceding the start of the championship. So Tony Finau, he's at minus six. Rory McIlroy is at minus seven. You got a ton of golfers who are within six, seven shots of Xander, and really low numbers. Brooks Koepka, he's at minus four. Colin Morikawa, he's at minus five. Just a lot of guys poised. Scottie Scheffler, coming off birth of his first child, he's at minus four as well. There's just a lot of guys who could turn around and have another great round on Friday and make this a really competitive weekend, which is the hope. I think that's how you get golfers back. Golfers, not golfers. That's how you get golf fans back to investing. It's a major, so that kind of helps. But we know the ratings have tanked this season. And part of the reason is because of all this ridiculous chatter over the PGA-LIV merger, which is a total sham, and the fact that you've got some of the best players in the world that are off on a different tour. And just the way that for the last year we have been promised details and structure for this merger, and still they're not making any progress. In fact, they're making so little progress that now even the golfers like Rory think that the merger is actually going to happen.
My confidence level on something getting done before last week was, you know, as low as it had been. And then, you know, with this news of Jimmy resigning and knowing the relationship he has with the other side and how much warmth there is from the other side, it's concerning.
Yeah, so Jimmy Dunn is who Rory's referring to. We talked about this earlier in the week. He was the guy who actually orchestrated the initial merger, and he mentions the respect that Jimmy has from the LIV side. Well, the fact is, he's resigned because they can't make any progress. They're seemingly stuck. It's a stalemate, and we'll ask our friend Matt Adams of the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life when he joins us next hour here on the Infinity Sports Network. But guys like Max Homa, and I appreciate Max. He's also in the mix. He's six strokes back after the opening round. He doesn't hold back. He's been pretty open about the fact that he thinks this is terrible for golf, that it's really alienating fans, and that he's kind of down on where their game is right now.
I think if you spend a lot of time on the internet, it does feel like golf's crumbling, professional golf. It's tough to decipher because when we're on the grounds of events, it's amazing. Last week at Quail Hollow was awesome. Felt no different. Bay Hill felt no different. The players felt no different. So it's odd. It doesn't feel like it's dying, yet you hear a lot of very valid complaints on the internet. So I think it's very troubling. I don't like where it's going. It's got to be exhausting to be a casual golf fan at this point in time. I don't know why you would want to hear about the business side of this game. As a fan of other sports, I do not care about the business side of what the Lakers and Dodgers are doing.
So you don't care that the Detroit Lions just gave Jared Goff a record extension? No? Or that Kirk Cousins got $100 million guaranteed and then his team drafted another quarterback? No? Interesting. I don't know that we're going to get a straight answer from fans, and so it's not really worth putting out there, but I do think he's got a great point. Not that you should believe everything you read on the internet, but he does make a point about the fact that more than the actual golf, what we're hearing about now is this sham of a merger and how it's alienating fans and driving them away because they're tired of hearing about it. Max has been pretty open. I mean, he's getting more and more frustrated. You notice I haven't mentioned Tiger Woods. Oh, it's time. It's time. He was minus one, so he was in red numbers after a birdie on his 16th hole, but then ended up at plus one. I think it was his 16th. Ended up at plus one because he didn't finish strong. So now he's got some work to do in order to stick around and make the cut.
I've made a few cuts in a row when I was 140 some odd. It's just, you have to just grind it out, and it's a marathon. Major championships are a long grind, and it's just plodding along. It's not a sprint. It's just a grind, and I had a few years where I was able to participate for a very long time.
Each day is a little bit different. Some days it's better than others. And it's just the way it is. My body's just that way. Some days it feels great, and other days, a bit of a struggle.
I mean, that's Tiger's reality now. He's been pretty honest about it, and that's the issue. He's only playing maybe one tournament a month, sometimes not even that. That's kind of his goal. But if you don't play a lot of golf, well, then you get out of golf shape, and your stamina is down, and your physical body then struggles to keep up. But he can't work out the way that he used to either because of all his different limitations with the foot, the leg from the accident, obviously the back surgeries. And so he's kind of in a catch-22. He needs to play more golf. He needs to work out more in order for him to be in a good rhythm and for his body, that muscle memory, to return. But at the same time, he can't push his physical body the way that he used to. So he is at plus one. He's got some work to do to make the cut. Though, yeah, obviously he's got the ability to do that just by virtue of his talent and everything he knows about creating and shaping shots out there on the golf course. And Vahal is one that they're all pretty familiar with, veterans on the tour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What are better words in sports or a better phrase in sports than Game 7? Chase is in Washington. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, love your show. Welcome back from your trip, and we are happy to have you back on the radio.
Thank you.
I wanted to give a quick response to your question about Game 7, and then if it's okay, I also do have a TV streaming recommendation, too.
Okay.
So, in terms of Game 7, I think it kind of depends on the circumstances, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. If I don't really have a dog in the fight in terms of whom I'm rooting for. I love for it to go seven games because then it's exciting and there's more games on and it's fun to follow. That's how I'm feeling about the NBA and NHL playoffs this year. However, if my team is like way ahead in the series and then the other team comes back, Game 7 can be really stressful and not that much fun, and there's a lot on the line.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering why Game 7 is considered the best phrase in sports when it's not always a positive thing. It can be really stressful and nerve-wracking.
That's true, and I guess the reason is because I'm looking at it from the perspective of a radio host who digs drama, and Game 7s are great for radio, great for content. So, yeah, as much as I do have teams that I root for when I'm not in the radio studio, there's never a bad sitch where a Game 7 is, you know, isn't going to be great for our show that night.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say that from your perspective, you have more content to talk about if series do go seven games. I was going to say, I think "we are the champions" is a better phrase. And the song is iconic, and being able to say that or hear that music after your team wins a championship is really, really special. Like, it gives me goosebumps when that happens. Unfortunately, my teams haven't experienced that very much because I'm from Cincinnati. I'm a Bengals and Reds fan, and they haven't won that much in my lifetime. But the few times that I have gotten to hear that, even if it's just for like a division championship, is really special.
Mm, that is. And I don't think the run is done for these current Bengals as much as it's been tough to have Joe Burrow and then not have Joe Burrow and then have him again, then not have him. And I know they've got some changes too with their roster, but I still think that they're a team that should be considered a force and a contender in the AFC.
Absolutely. I'm really hopeful we can keep Joe Burrow in one piece and go really deep this year.
Gosh, agreed. Right. He is the key, as we know, for quarterbacks and especially guys that are as elite as he is.
Absolutely. Would it be okay if I give that quick TV streaming recommendation?
Go, go.
So there's a thing called Uzu.tv, UZZU.tv, and it could be a good option for you and Bob because it's really affordable. It's actually only $130 for an entire year.
Wow.
Which averages out to like $10 a month. And it's totally legal, too. It's not one of those illegal things that a lot of people use. And it includes like every sports channel, like all the ESPNs, SEC Network, ACC Network, MLB, NHL, all these different sports channels, and all the regional sports channels, too. So it's like having NBA League Pass, NHL, whatever, and all these things. And it's really affordable. The only thing it doesn't have is, like, ABC, CBS.
Gotcha.
NBC, stuff like that. But you could get that with an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and Bob are looking to cut costs, so that could be a good option for you. It's Uzu.tv.
I wonder why I've never heard of it. Uzu.tv.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really under the radar. It's like a well-kept secret, and I think it might be like a European company or something like that, but it's worked really well, and the video quality is good, too.
I love that you say it's totally legal. That's the first caveat. Yeah. It's totally legal.
Right, because I didn't want people to think that it was illegal because I would feel bad about recommending something that was illegal, especially on national radio.
Thank you. I appreciate your conscientiousness in that regard.
Absolutely. Thank you, Amy. Have a great rest of your night and welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Chase. Oh, that's good stuff. You check it out, Jay? Uzu TV?
First question when you type Uzu TV into Google, is UzuTV.com legal? That's the first thing that it asks. I'm looking at it.
You're on to something, Chase. You're on to something.
It looks really good, but I don't know. It looks like almost too good to
be true.
That's
what I mean. Right. That's my first question is, what's the catch?
I'm looking at the schedule of games they had. They had literally every baseball game last night, the hockey games, the basketball
the
game,
catch?
WNBA game. Yeah, it looks just too good to be true. I don't know.
It's perfectly legal, but they're able to siphon broadcasts from other streaming services. How do they do that?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't want to give him my credit card just yet. That's all.
But we appreciate that Chase is offering up recommendations. We were just mentioning football. Jared Goff, the contract extension, he actually spoke about it on Thursday. So in the midst of playoff pushes and game sevens and the PGA championship and Caitlin Clark, football.
The hype train.
Always. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This is crazy. I can't.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's Kramer. Today, let's talk about juicing. It is not some new kind of health craze. Juicing is a fantastic on-the-go healthy food option that anybody can fit into their lifestyle. And it tastes good. Pure Raw Juice has the information, the know-how, and of course, the countless delicious alternatives to fast food. They've even got a full line of cold coffee brews. Now, 10 locations all throughout Baltimore let Pure Raw Juice inspire you to take the first steps to healthy eating habits or even try a juice cleanse. See the full Pure Raw Juice menu for yourself and heal your body from the inside. PureRawJuice.com.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Believe it. But before we get off the stage, I need to hear one thing. Jared Goff. Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
What's up, Detroit? Let's go, baby!
He's so awkward.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the opening moments of the NFL draft in Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown with his BFF Jared Goff. Are they going to become the most productive duo in football? Can they surpass, say, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, Tua, and Tyreek Hill? Not as long a tenure together. But the Detroit Lions, they wanted to make darn sure that their quarterback wasn't going anywhere and that fans, both at the draft and at Ford Field this season, would have the chance to serenade him with more chance of Jared Goff, Jared Goff. And actually being home, if you will, being comfortable, one big reason why Jared chose to get the deal done now.
This city just means so much to me now and will hold a special place in my heart forever. The reward of the contract and like the success we've been able to have has been awesome, but the journey itself of these past 3 years has been the true success. And being able to go through that together with my teammates and with my family and go through the dark times and grow through those times and learn more about yourself and work on yourself, that's the win in all of this. And I'm happy to be able to stand in front of you and be your quarterback for a lot longer, but this city's meant a lot to me. I just want to win for them, and I want to win for these fans, and I want them to be able to experience the success that we've had this past year and a half or whatever it is and just continue to do that.
I love it. I love it for Jared that after he was blindsided by a trade from the Rams to the Lions, he's found not just a new opportunity, a reset on his career. He's been terrific the last couple years, but also the fan base has embraced him. His coach has embraced him. The Lions in the locker room love him. The city adores him, but it's not just that. He wants to finish what they've started. After getting to the NFC Championship game, he wants to finish what they've started. And certainly now, it just was lightning in a bottle to have the draft in Detroit this spring after what they accomplished in the playoffs and ending so many droughts, winning the NFC North. 4 years, $212 million, but actually the money wasn't the top reason why Jared was anxious to get it done.
You can go back and forth on the numbers and whatnot, and that wasn't really the thing that was ever something I was extremely concerned with. It was the security and you know, the no trade clause and all that stuff, knowing that all that was in there and feeling secure and then, you know, knowing that I can now put that behind me.
And then he says, I can be excited about what's to come. So past is done, contract signed, sealed, delivered. I certainly don't have a contract that's like Jared Goff's with a $73 million signing bonus, the largest in NFL history. But I do know that when I signed my current deal, going back now 2.5 years ago, yeah, when you know you've got a fully guaranteed contract, actually in my case, not for Jared, but he's got a ton of guaranteed money. When you know that it's done, you can put it in the rearview mirror. You've got the job security and whatever stability pro sports offer you, not to mention a no trade clause, which is huge. Not every player has that. Not even every veteran player has that in the NFL. This is a big deal for him. Now he can firmly focus mind, body, soul, spirit on leading the Lions to the Super Bowl. And of course, that is one of the goals heading into this next stretch where he's got a contract that runs through 28.
I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to leave a legacy. And I have a lot of personal goals, but I think most importantly, it is hosting that Lombardi.
I can't say enough about Jared. He is, we all know the narrative, his situation, everything he's been through these past years, and to be where he is today and where he's going is incredible. And for me to be a part of his journey in any way has been such a blessing, and I'm so grateful to have him as a teammate and as a friend. He's so deserving of this, and I'm so happy for him and his family.
Frank Ragnow, offensive lineman, speaking to ABC7 in Detroit. So yeah, it's not just good for Jared, though it is lucrative for Jared. It's also great for the Lions and of course for Dan Campbell, knowing that they've got this stability at the most important position in football and potentially mostly most important position in all of sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We know the schedule came out earlier this week, and Jay and I admitted we tried to watch the schedule release on NFL Network. It's a mindless activity. If you care about your own schedule, that I get. How in the world NFL fans could be bothered to look at the schedule for every other team that, even if you're talking about just primetime games, it's a lot of useless information in May, as is predicting win totals. It's a useless exercise, a mindless exercise. But it was kind of interesting to hear Mike North, who's the NFL VP of broadcast planning, talk about the networks and which games they get and when and how they kind of finagle keeping all of their broadcast partners happy.
It's a lot of mouths to feed. And obviously everybody wants the, you know, juiciest apple off the tree. So you really got to make sure, you know, everybody gets something. Nobody gets everything. Kind of start at the top and you think about, you know, what are the quote unquote games of the year? You go to a game like Kansas City, San Francisco, you know, that game could go Sunday night, Monday night would be a heck of a give to Thursday night. CBS and Fox 4:25 Sunday afternoon, Eastern time windows. Those are our most watched windows. You know, that's where we're averaging 25, 26 million viewers every Sunday, almost regardless of the content. So you kind of start at the top and you think about, what are we going to do with Kansas City, San Fran? Well, if it lands on NBC, then NBC shouldn't probably then also get Dallas, San Francisco. And if you're going to get the best Dallas, you can't get the best Kansas City. And if you're going to get a good Kansas City, maybe somebody else is going to get two Kansas Cities and maybe they're not the two best. And
okay,
so it's kind of this whole, yeah, Hunger Games is a good way to think about it. A little Game of Thrones action, a little bit of, you know, everybody gets something, nobody gets everything. And you kind of start at the top and make sure that that really top tier, really juiciest apples are doled out fairly so that everybody feels like, you know, they got a little something.
Mike North on the Rich Eisen Show. Now, thinking about the opening weekend, what do we know? It's a little bit of deja vu for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Back on Monday Night Football, they're not taking on the Bills in week one, but they are on Monday Night Football, and it's the 49ers this time who will be their opponent. So Mike was actually speaking to Jets.com. He did a ton of interviews, and he was asked about this particular matchup and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets once again, week one on Monday night.
Once we kind of got our mind around maybe the Giants at home Sunday of 1 o'clock of week one, then you start thinking about what do you want to do with that Jets first game and obviously Aaron Rodgers' second first game as a Jets quarterback. We looked at schedules where, you know, they might have found themselves on the road on a Sunday afternoon, maybe at Tennessee or Jacksonville, and then come home in week two and be that first Amazon Thursday night game. You know, didn't seem right maybe to have that first game of the season kind of be buried in a window with, say, 8 or 9 other games. Like, I think that's one of the ones that the fans want to see.
I don't know, Jay. Do you think it's one of the ones the fans want to see? Considering that last year, there were so many games on national TV that were supposed to feature Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback of the Jets. But what we are left with, Tim Boyle, Zach Wilson, days and days and days without a quarterback who can throw a touchdown to a wide receiver. It was brutal. So as much as I understand why, and he kind of makes a joke, I love the line of Aaron Rodgers' second game, or his second first game with the New York Jets. Are they willing to take that risk against the Niners that it's going to blow up in their faces again?
It looks like they are, because I read, what is it, 7 out of the first 11 weeks of the season, the Jets are in a primetime slot or have night games.
Again?
And this is just like the same thing that happened not last year with the Jets, 2 years ago with the Denver Broncos, when they got Russell Wilson and they put them in all these primetime games, and they were awful. And we had to watch the Broncos all season. So last year we had to watch the Jets all season. Maybe they should mix it up a little bit on primetime.
Maybe. Well, we'll get a lot of Chiefs. Of course, we'll get a lot of the Jets. Of course, there are some
teams hard to cancel me.
That bring a lot of eyeballs and earballs, like the Dallas Cowboys, of course, the Niners, of course. Good stuff from Mike North. Maybe we'll throw in another one. Also asking you a better phrase in sports than Game 7 on Twitter, A Law Radio, on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You're listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McLaughlin is going to dribble it out in midcourt. A 45-point victory in Game 6 to save off elimination. And the Timberwolves are headed to Sunday for their second ever Game 7.
Did you really tell the locker room staffer in Denver you were going to be back for
Hell games? Yeah. They know y'all was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I'll see y'all for Game 7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Anthony Edwards, in a candid moment, told the locker room attendants in Denver he would be back. The attendants, I guess they know to prepare for his arrival. It's a little bit like Darth Vader. Alert my starship to prepare for my arrival. So Ant warned the MFers that I'm sure they appreciated that. They thought it was a compliment that he called them that. Alerted the attendants in Denver to prepare for his return in Game 7.
And has altered the deal.
Pray I don't alter it further. Lo and behold, they have returned. Is there a better phrase in sports than Game 7? Ellen's in St. Louis. Good morning to you.
How are you, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
So here's my phrase, not mine, borrowing from Jack Buck, Joe Buck. We will see you tomorrow night.
That's a good one. Or while we're hearkening back to crazy Buck calls, I don't believe what I just saw.
Yeah,
I like that one too.
That's a good one too. famous one here in St. Louis that I don't know still gets around the country from 1985, dating myself. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people know. Was that Ozzy?
Ozzy Smith, who weighs less than I do. somehow hit a home run out of the old Busch Stadium, which was just cavernous. And yeah, it was great. But yeah, we will see you tomorrow night. And then when Joe kind of did it in an homage to his dad 20 years later,
yes,
you know, the David Freeze home run in St. Louis, which of course means a lot to us around here.
Yeah.
I still just think it's a good one, but, well, and it kind of means the same thing, right?
Right. Can't exactly. Game seven, setting up a game seven, can't compete with much from Joe Buck or even from Vin Scully if we're going to go that direction. I like that
one. No doubt.
It's a good one. Thank you so much for the memory.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Happy Friday to Ellen in St. Louis and to the rest of you as you join us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. A couple of your responses on Facebook. Kathy says, the first words I think of when I say game seven, stressful. Which is what I feel when my Bruins are, she says, hopefully make it go to a game seven against Florida tonight. Let's see. Louise goes with goal, which is not really a phrase, but it is a popular word in hockey, or opening day. So like opening day, that's a good phrase. George says, turn off the lights. The party's over. Let's see. Andy says, for me, it would be here are your world champions after your team wins that particular trophy or cup. Tony goes with a long fly ball deep to center. Andy, like a lot of you, is saying sudden death overtime. And here's one, Jay, which I think we might have the audio to accompany. Ben, his submission on Facebook, pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. Our friend Kevin Harlan. Man, it's been a couple of years since we've had Kevin on the show. We need to rectify that.
The guy is drunk.
Right? He's sworn off ever making those calls again.
The 20, they're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out,
man.
Well,
you're not going to play the iconic conclusion of that call? Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be
he's
a man.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him.
Lordy.
They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat,
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
What?
That's tremendous.
We listened to all of that and we didn't get the line. It's fine, Jay. It's fine. I think we figured it out. Thank you, Ben, for that memory. I did my impression of Kevin Harlan here on the Infinity Sports Network. As we head toward the top of the hour, we're asking you better phrase in sports than game seven. I set it up for you. I love the answers that we're getting. Jim says, I'm partial to Skip Carey saying free baseball, meaning overtime. Elliot Lewis on Facebook says game seven at home. Dana says has to be sudden death. Scott agrees with that. Reggie goes as far as sudden death overtime. So yeah, good stuff there. I promised you a couple of Hawaii memories or Hawaii moments every hour. So I want to work in a couple here before we hit the top of the hour. I'm sure Captain Cook is a familiar historical figure to many of you. He was the British sea captain who landed his ship on the Hawaiian Islands, and not just the Hawaiian Islands, but that was one of his discoveries, if you will. They worshipped him as a god and then later killed him because they felt like he angered the gods. Anyway, there is a monument to Captain Cook where right near where he I think it was where he was killed. And they actually have a plaque there as well as a monument where he landed. And it was put up by one by the British government, another by the Australian government, which is kind of funny. But you can get to that particular part of the coast, the shore, a few ways. You can swim across the bay from the town, which it's about a mile. You can kayak, which a lot of people do. You can come in by, you know, boat. It's great snorkeling in this protected bay. A lot of dolphins in this bay too. So there were a bunch of bigger boats, tourist boats that were there when we got there who, you know, allow people to then jump off the boats and snorkel. So about five big tourist boats. So that's another way to get in. Or you can hike, which is how we got in. So it was a 1,400-foot descent from up on the road above this bay with the Captain Cook Monument. You hike down it, and it's through, you know, a lava field, part of it. Part of it's through a rainforest, believe it or not. That's the crazy climates there on the Big Island. And so, yeah, we hike through this tropical forest first, rainforest first, and there's goats and evidence of wild pigs everywhere. So you're kind of in the middle of what is animals' paradise. And then you get to the lava rock and you're out on the coast and the views are gorgeous. You're way up high above the bay. So you keep descending, 1,400 feet down, and then you can get in the water. Now, a lot of it's, like I said, kayaking and snorkeling. Bob and I didn't have, we decided not to snorkel. We just swam, but it was amazing. The water's clear. You can actually see the fish below you, calm in this bay. It was amazing. It was super hot. We were wearing our swimsuits underneath our hiking clothes, just kind of stripped them off and jumped in. He had to call me multiple times and get me out of the water because I did not want to get out of the water. I was out there for an hour just treading water and swimming around. It was so great. And eventually a lot of the tour boats left and the bay was relatively empty. So it's kind of neat. Fish of all colors that you could see swimming below your feet. I didn't see any dolphins there, but I was hopeful. I kept looking around, wondering if the dolphins would come up. We'll have more about dolphins, by the way, as we head into the final hour of the show. So yeah, I loved the fishing, the swimming, the kayaking that I was seeing, and then got to take part of it at Captain Cook. But here's the kicker. Once we got out of the water, put our hiking clothes and hiking boots back on, and proceed 1,400 feet back up to where our car was. So yeah, we were pretty hot and sweaty by the time we got done. So the swimming was great. There was a payoff at the bottom when you got down to the bay. But by the time you got back up, man, you were dying. It was hot in that tropical rainforest. Thankfully, we did not run into any wild boar. We saw a ton of goats everywhere. They run the island. No joke, they run the big island. No wild boar that we encountered, but goats everywhere. And it was totally worth the hike just to swim in that bay and see the Captain Cook Monument. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm at the nail salon. What? I'm at the grocery store. What? I'm at the combination nail salon and grocery store.
Wait, she's at the nail salon and the grocery store?
I'm at the combination nail salon and grocery store. Groceries through Instacart delivered to my door. I don't have to choose between acrylics and the grocery store.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings, and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.